30th of April. Dad got an email and then a phone call from the French solicitor today. He's moved the meeting to tomorrow. So Dad, for some deluded reason, got out his old suit and made more my in it. Dad, of course, swore he would never use a 9 again after 1987's incident. Ooh, poor Fitzpatrick. Dad's been cleaning the house frantically all day, but then Mum said, quite racistly, "Don't bother cleaning, Cecil. He's French, he won't know the difference." You know, Mum's not known for her political correctness, and Dad isn't known for his backbone. But as soon as she said that, oh, I'm buzzing, mate. As soon as she said that, Dad span around, looked her in the eye and shouted, "You've got no idea what the French are like, you stupid woman. Keep your bigoted opinions to yourself." And then he went back to violently dusting some China clowns. Of course, he's going to get defensive about French Francis. He was in France in the war, and now he's got a French sister. What was Mum thinking? Mind you, she used to watch Big Break with Jim Davidson, and we all know how offensive he can be. Good news on the bed front, though. I realised that I'm not meant to keep the mattress in the large plastic bag it came with. That's only for keeping it clean during transit. I thought it was like a giant anti-nighttime urine device, like a mattress protector. Not that I've wetted the bed since about 2002, and I was so very drunk then. So very drunk. Anyway, it's 1:36 a.m. now and I must slumber. But in the morning, I may know what magical secrets are within that silver trinket box. If it's voodoo juju, I bet Cecil turns me into a lobster and then eats me, or somewhat a rebel. Or a spider. Oh, the irony. Or a cabbage. Oof, that'd be typical.
We're really recording this in the front room, Paul. Trying to watch Arms Under the Hammer.
Yeah, well, look, I've got to do it now, Cecil. Mum's out. Got the VR headset set up down here. I've got to do the clock. You might hear the clock in it, Cecil. Podcast.
Shut up. Fine, but keep the noise down.
I will not, listeners, keep the noise down. I will keep the noise to whatever level I feel is pertinent unto the peace. Thank you. The 1st of May. Well, the solicitor turned up at 10 to 5 in the afternoon. He got out some papers from his French briefcase, pointed to it, then got angry when Mum and Dad couldn't understand him. And then he pointed some more. He didn't use a baguette, which is actually quite a useful loaf. You know, when you want to point at something because it's all long and pointy. In the end, he got really angry and shouted something in French and stormed out. He left us a letter which appears to be from Dad's half-sister. I've typed it all in. It was in French, obviously, because she's French as well. I typed it into an online translator, and this is what it spat out. Dear Cecil, I don't know what a French accent is like. Oh, yo, yo. Oh, dear Cecil. That sounds like a man, though, don't it? She's probably a bit less butch than me. Dear Cecil, I'm satisfied you thus have news of after all these years. Dad would often speak about you. Nevertheless, work you for the service of prison? I will have to keep it short. Sandwich with a sauce and a tap, because affliction of the family is very bad today. The labia is the centre punch in the tap. My condition becomes much worse, and I fear that that bit's just gibberish. I do not have much left. This affliction is hereditary. Thus you or your children can, as a fists, have it. Please come visit me. I hope to see me soon. Pushed hair of Minge. Marie Ballon de Thanks. Now, either Dad's sister is mental or the online translator isn't very good. So what we've done is we've asked Tony and his wife to come round tomorrow because she speaks fluent French. In hindsight, we probably should have just got her to come round today. Then she could have spoken to the solicitor. But her and Mum don't get on. Mum thinks she's just too delicate. 2nd of May. Well, Tony's wife came round today as promised, and it turns out Dad's sister is mental, as the children from the 1990s would call it. She appears to have some kind of writing Tourette syndrome. And that can't kill you, can it? Anyway, this is how this is how a letter to Cecil reads. Dear Cecil, I'm so pleased to hear from you after all these years. Papa would speak of you often. Do you still work for the prison service? I shall have to keep it brief, Coxsaw Sandwich, because the affliction of the family is very bad today, breast labia punch penis. My condition is getting much worse, and I fear I have not got much time left. This affliction is hereditary, so you or your children may have fisting a donkey, have it. Please come visit me. I hope to see you soon. I've set fire to my minge hair. Marie Sex. I don't know how to pronounce the surname. Dad got really scared when she read about an illness. He went red and was sort of nearly crying. Then when Tony's wife had finished reading the letter, Dad picked it up, sort of clutched it to his bosom and said, while looking at the ceiling,
"As God is my witness, Marie, I shall see you before this night's through. I vow this. Hear me, Lord. I shall see my sister."
Then Mum pointed out that he didn't have a passport. Dad kind of looked sheepish and then said,
"Oh, okay, Lord, not today, but just as soon as the international governments will let me."
Then I pointed out to Dad that the Play-Doh man stuck on the ceiling isn't God. It's just something I threw up there a few days ago because it scared me. I thought I saw it move, so I sort of grabbed it and threw it up, and then it just sort of splattered on the ceiling next to a strange shape, next to a strange stain in the shape of Brazil. And that stain's not of my doing, not in this new house, not yet. Couldn't get it up that high anyway. I'm not a young man anymore. Third of May. Today, Dad and I rushed off to the post office at first light. He roused me at dawn and said,
"Paul, chubbiest of all the faxes, we've a mission. Should you choose to accept it?"
And then I sort of rolled over grumpily and told him to leave me to my slumber. But then he said,
"Listen, Bond, Emma's given us a mission. Come downstairs to see Q about your gadgets."
Now Dad knows I've almost more than anything wanted to be a James Bond. I mean, what chap wouldn't? He gets all the best vehicles, gadgets, outfits, and of course, the ladies. The ladies. The endless parade of syphilitic whores. I can't even write the word octopussy without thinking about a lady with 8 vaginas. Well, I try to, but because I don't know what a vagina looks like, so the image in my mind sort of gets distorted and turns into some kind of mutant cat, like all 8 cats melted together in one horrific bag of tumours and fur, then sort of with the tentacles of an octopus, and it just sort of starts spraying me with a kind of ink, but it's a furry ink with claws in it, and it starts screaming, and then it just comes at me scratching at my face like all cats do. It's not worth thinking about, is it? Anyway, I've never been able to resist playing James Bond, so I got out of bed as quickly as possible, put on my t-shirt that looks like a tuxedo, and some khaki safari shorts, and then I ran downstairs. Dad was pretending to be Q. He looks a bit like Desmond Llewellyn, anyway, old and hunched. He gave me a ballpoint pen that, as well as being able to write, could also be used to sort of point at things, Cecil said. Then I was given my mission brief. It was... What was it, Cecil?
"It was to go to the post office with Q and apply for a passport."
"So, I got my ballpoint pen gadget and just jammed it into Cecil's left man bosom, right into the nipple section. I was furious. It was 5 a.m. and it was a Sunday. Stupid, bald old tortoise face.
4th of May. Monday morning, 11 a.m.
We stood in the queue at the post office for 50 minutes. When we reached the front, we found that we could do it all online. So I got a pen that was on a little chain from the post office woman and jabbed that into Cecil's other bust. He didn't like it, but I don't care. Wasting my time. But we also had... I've just remembered what's coming up. It amuses me. We also had to go have our passport photos taken in one of those booths. And as Mum wants to go on holiday, if we're going on holiday, she came with us. So Dad's, don't know if that's apparent, but Dad's making us have a holiday when we go to France to see his sister. So we met Mum at Tesco's. She'd been to the hairdressers to have her hair done. Which the hairdressers is actually just another old lady's front room. When she came round the corner, she looked ridiculous. It was the tightest perm known to man and dyed a sort of purpley grey. Stupid. Don't know why she's done that. Mum went into the booth first. We heard her sort of moving the rotating stool thing, then silence for about a minute. Then we just heard her saying, "Prunes." Saying prunes, the word prunes, like the fruit prunes. But she said it in a sort of high-pitched voice. Then she came out and she looked really red. We waited for 2 minutes for the photo. Then when it came out, she quickly grabbed it and refused to let any of us see it. Then Dad went in. Oh, all I heard was,
"I'm frightened."
And then he sort of came running out. His picture only took about 30 seconds to develop. And it was just looking bright red. And his toupee was at an odd angle. Sorry, I'm trying to trump. His toupee was at a jaunty angle. But he said he was happy with it. It made him look like he had a devil may care look. And he thinks the French might like that. Because they like jazz. And he looked a little bit jazzy. And he said he wanted to get into a jazz magazine. And I said I'm not sure that that's what that term means. But it won't have been any of it. Then it was my turn. I got in. And I tried to get all my flab in sort of... And it was quite hard because it's quite a confined area. So my leg was too chubby and it had to be half out of the booth. I looked round and then it cost actual money. It cost £5. Didn't even know it cost anything. I hadn't brought any money. I had to beg Mum for some. And she wasn't keen to part with any. But I pretended to start crying and then like have a scene. So she handed over the coinage. And then... Oh, burping. Then I put the money in and a woman's voice said,
"Welcome. You look nice."
I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if it was a real woman or just a computer. So I just said, "I'm going to France." Because I got scared, I just said the first thing that came into my mind.
Then the woman said, "Please place your face inside the circle."
Then a screen lit up in front of me with a circle on, like, the screen. And then the camera video feed of my face. And I didn't know what was going on. So I just sort of got confused and pushed my face all the way up to the glass of the screen to try and get my face in it. And then I realised you're probably supposed to sit down on the stool and just do it from a distance. It's embarrassing. No wonder Mum and Dad had trouble. So... I tried to position the stool, but it was too low. It couldn't get me in, so I had to sort of stand up a bit, which I could only do for a few seconds before my legs gave way.
And then the woman's voice said, "Push the green button to take your first image."
So at this point, I thought there was a real woman behind the glass, sort of hiding in the photo booth somewhere, and then she's just going to get a camera out and take a picture. So I pushed the green button, and then there was a red flash of light. It had taken the picture instantly. I thought I'd going to get time to sort of prepare myself. I wasn't even stood up. My photo came up on the screen in front of me, and it was just at the top of my head, and I was looking down at the button, sort of. And then I got a bit frustrated, and then the instructions came on the screen again to take another shot. So I sort of stood up, got my head in the green circle, and then pushed the green button, and nothing happened. And then sort of I waited, like, come on. But then my knees gave way, and then after about 5 seconds, just as I was falling down to the floor, it took a picture. Again, I looked bright red and I was all blurry. Third time lucky? No, my head was in the right place, but Mum had shoved a stupid head in to see what was taking so long, so I had half my face and half some perm and then forehead. Ridiculous. Fourth time lucky, though? No, just the picture. As the picture was being taken, someone in Tesco's must have dropped a load of wine. Customers, an almighty crash. So when the flash went off, I was looking out to my left with just a horrified look on my face. Fifth time lucky? No. Everything was alright apart from I seemed to have a horrible expression on my face, like I was pooing or I was constipated or something. I was all red with my mouth sort of turned down slightly, frowning. So, sixth time lucky? Well, we'll never know, because you only get a maximum of 5 tries. And much as my button pushing protest would put up, it just printed out picture 5, whether I liked it or not, and I didn't like it. I rushed out to get the picture before Mum and Dad could see, but it was already printed out by the time I'd managed to sort of pull my folds out of it. I tried to laugh it off, saying I looked silly, and oh, it was horrible, everyone here looked silly in passport photos. But then Dad just said,
"No, that's how you always look. A bit shocked and quite ugly."
The nasty bastard. On the way out, I kicked the machine just in case that horrible, nasty woman was inside. Nasty bitch.
Did a burp then.
May the 5th. May the 5th be with you. I never remembered to say may the 4th be with you. Nothing all happened today, apart from I saw a nun go in the house opposite me. 6th of May. I saw 2 more nuns going into the house over the road. It's quite a big house, and I suspect it might be some kind of nun house, or a convent, as Dad calls them. I don't know why, but nuns are the most erotic ladies I've ever seen. I think maybe it's because they're forbidden fruit, utterly unattainable. Or it might just be the mystery of what's under their habits. You know, they're full-on black cloak wearing nuns. All you can see is like the face. Like in Sister Act and Sister Act 2, Back to the Habit. Which is where I get all my nun knowledge from. Much like I've got all my parenting skills, should they ever be called into practice, from the Look Who's Talking trilogy. I think it's a trilogy. Can't imagine they dragged that out to 4 films. But then I can't imagine they dragged it out to 3 films, but they did, because there was Look Who's Talking, Look Who's Talking 2, and then Look Who's Talking Now, but that weren't babies talking, that were dogs. Bit of a stretch if you ask me.
Sorry about that, I'm just testing out the vocals in the echo chamber. I'm in an echo chamber here. It smells a bit of BO. But that's because it's the time of the year. Well, the time of the month. It's my time of the month, really, isn't it? Where I get in the water, splish around, because I'm in the bath waters. It looks a bit like I'm just sat in some Bovril, because I'm a bit dirty. The sweat coagulates under my boobage and under my man boobs, and I just have to come and wallow like a hippo in the wilds. I'm just sat in the bathroom in my tummy. Nothing untoward's happening, is it, Dad?
No.
Cecil's here to help me get to the hard-to-reach zones and there's quite a lot of them in the Cecil. Cecil?
Yes?
Quite a lot.
Yes, there is now. Now, I know what everybody's thinking. Excuse me, just move your leg, Paul.
Sorry.
I'm getting your leg right up my bottom. I've got my swimming costume on, and so is Paul. There's nothing untoward happening. I'm just helping him reach the hard-to-reach area.
There. Look at that. That's all.
Bloody hell, what's that?
Don't know, just... I think it's my sock. Could you try and pull it off, Cecil?
It's stuck to your foot.
Yeah, I can see He-Man's face. I think it's part of one of my socks. I've had it on for about 19 years.
How you've not got trench foot is beyond me.
Well, sorry about that, but pull it off.
No, I won't. You do it.
I'm not doing it.
Don't make her have a go.
No, Sir Jeremy, you just sit there and just pass Cecil the shower gels, the ointments, the lotions, the shampoos, the conditioners. Please.
Right, will do. Sir Jeremy Cream just sat on the toilet, just observing one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in my life, I'll tell you what.
It's not bizarre, Sir Jeremy, it's just what we do. Paul's a chunky boy. He's got short T-Rex arms he can't quite reach.
Yeah, if it was up to me and I was left on my own devices, there'd only be bits of me that would be washed. It'd be my forearms, my groin, a lot would be washed. And my chest, that's all I can reach is my man bosoms.
You don't wash your face?
You don't need to wash your face.
Of course you need to wash your face.
No, don't bother, it just gets wet in the general process when Cecil splashes you. Splash me now, Cecil.
I will do, I'm playful.
Don't be playful, Cecil. It's proper work here we've got to do.
Right, what now? I'm going to dunk you, Paul.
No, don't.
What did you do that for, Sir Jeremy Cream? Sir Jeremy.
Don't do that to it.
Yeah, Sir Jeremy, that was nasty. I got some up my nose.
Well, it's got your face wet at least. We can begin chipping away at that brown stuff on your chin.
That's my beard, Jeremy.
That's not your beard, it's muck. Bloody filthy muck. I want to take a loofah to it.
No, they sound too abrasive.
Yes, it's got very delicate skin.
How do you know? You can't even see his skin, it's too much dirt.
Look, here. Put the head and shoulders on.
Right. Just putting it on there and getting a pallet out. I'm going to scrub your hair, Paul. Put the gloves on.
Oh, it's cold, Sir Jeremy Cream.
Shut up.
Oh, I don't like you. Don't give it in my eyes.
Don't be baby.
I'm not being a baby. I'm being a big, brave boy. Oh, I don't like it.
I'm massaging it into your scalp now. It absolutely stinks. It's gone black practically.
Oh, Sir Jeremy. Oh, can I open my eyes yet?
Well, if you open your eyes, you're going to get it in your eyeballs, and you don't want that, do you?
I'd like my... Oh, get in my eye! Oh, get in my eyeball! Go in and dunk me, someone!
Oh,
What are you doing, idiot?
I don't like going under the water. Oh, it's an aquatic world under there and I don't like it. I'm scared I might see some octopi.
There's not going to be octopuses around you.
There might be, you never know, they're quite crafty creatures. You don't know where they're going to pop out to, Jeremy.
Fairly certain they're not going to pop out on a bath in North Yorkshire.
What are you doing, Tessa? Stop making waves.
Yes, I'm making waves at you, Paul. Playful.
What's that you're putting on me? Oh, that's cold.
It's called shower gel. You use it to wash yourself, scrubbing tons.
Oh, here it goes. Oh, I don't like it, Sir Jeremy. Stop it, I'm clean now.
No, you're not, you filthy. It's disgusting. Why do you sweat so much anyway?
You see the size of me. I sweat like an otter.
Do otters sweat a lot?
I don't know, but they go in sweat lodges, don't they, Sir Jeremy?
I don't know, do they?
What's that you're pouring on my face?
It is a shower gel.
I don't like it, Sir Jeremy. Oh, it's abrasive. It's abrasive.
Don't waterboard me.
But just to make him stop.
No, you need it, Paul.
The water burning me.
I'm washing you, Paul. Have you seen it all?
Just come on, Paul. I can see your pink flesh. You're looking beautiful.
It's supposed to be Guantanamo Bay. I feel abused. Used and abused. That was aggressive.
Right. Let's do the other side of your face now.
No, I don't want to. Can we just have a minute, please? I want to play Minecraft.
No, we're not playing Minecraft, Paul. We're washing your disgusting, filthy stench. Then we're going to make you go for a job interview.
What?